Hello, my lovelies. Before we get on to our guest Latoya Bond, who is a freaking amazing guest, by the way, I want to make an announcement that for right now I am pausing your Transformation Journey podcast. It has been a beautiful ride with this particular podcast. However, I am moving into a different direction. And that podcast is going to be called Sacred Phoenix Reborn. And what I'm going to be talking about is how to overcome trauma abuse, be it whether any form of trauma. A lot of us have some form of trauma, and what we do to overcome that so that you can accept where you're at the moment and start healing. And I want you to come join me on this ride. I will give an announcement when it'll start releasing. I'm not taking guests just yet, but I'm getting ready to put that call out. So if you are hearing this, because I am going to leave the Your Transformation Journey podcast up, I am just not going to actively be posting and uploading content for it for a little bit. And I may come back around to it. It's just for right now, working full time, working on getting a new thing started. There's only so much time in the day, right? So it takes a little bit to get that done. And I want you to know that those that have supported me through this journey, you will not be forgotten, and I hope you continue to follow what I am doing. We're making a movement in this world. We're making more than just a podcast, and I want you along for the ride. So thank you for listening to Your Transformation Journey podcast, and I want you to come join us over on the other side. And I'm hoping that the things that we're doing is making an impact, which I know they are. And I hope you've gotten some value out of listening to this podcast. And hopefully we'll meet again.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of your Transformation Journey podcast. And today, our guest is Latoya Bond. Latoya is an extremely special person. I met her through a group that we had went into, and we had actually co-authored a book together called Relentless Empowering Stories of Overcoming Adversity. And her story is definitely one of overcoming adversity. And not only did she write her own book called Speaking of Love, she is also the host of Speaking of Love podcast. She created that in honor of her father. And the reason why she did that is he took his own life in a murder-suicide. So for those of you that are listening, if this is triggering for you, please don't listen to this episode, because we're going to get into some hard things, but we're going to do this with love, because this is something that needs to be talked about and needs to be discussed because of the mental health crisis in our country. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not throwing it out there lightly when I say crisis. So welcome, Latoya, to your transformation journey.
Thank you so much for having me, Dawn. It's truly an honor to be here. And thank you for introducing me so gently with love.
You are welcome. And I always ask our guests, what got you started? So what really got you started talking about this? Because this is coming from a place of a deep well of tragedy. And I know a lot of people, for them, they don't want to speak about that, or they don't know how to speak about it.
You know, Dawn, it has been very difficult for me. I woke up in the middle of the night on March 2nd, and I took a look at my cell phone and I noticed that I had a bunch of missed calls, a lot of missed text messages from family members. And when I called my family member back to find out what was going on, I was told that my father murdered his wife and then moments later took the gun and took his own life. And from that moment on, from that very moment, I knew that I could not let this tragedy happen and not do something about it. So I knew that I didn't want my father's death and his wife's death to be in vain. I wanted to spread awareness. I wanted to change the conversations and the stigma behind mental illness, depression. So that's why I do what I do, is because 90% of people who take their own lives have a diagnosable mental illness at the time of their death, which my father had. So that's the reason why what I do is because I want to raise awareness, and I don't want anyone else to feel the tragedy and the pain that I've gone through after losing my father in such a horrible way and his wife. So that's why I do what I do.
That had to have been one of the probably worst days of your life. And to take that and to turn it into not only writing a book, but you are also a baker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if anybody that is watching this, because this is also going to be posted on YouTube, but if you're listening with just your ears, you can find her at beautifultoy.net, and I recommend you check out her website because, number one, she has some awesome things on there. I was just eyeing a little sunflower thing that you have done, and I feel like I am putting that on my wish list. And she posts about her baking, and it's just amazing to see that you have taken a tragedy and have putting your love into the things that you bake. But you're also more than just baking and more than just writing. You're also recognized in the Black Women in Radio, and it's because you are pushing forward and talking about the things that need to be talked about. And you're right, mental illness is still stigmatized, especially in men more than women. So let's dig into that. Why do you think it is still more stigmatized for men than it is for women?
Because men are told at a very young age, don't cry, men don't cry. Wipe your tears. You're a man. Hold it in. So they have this, they've been given this false misconception that they're supposed to be strong. They're not supposed to show any emotions. If you're feeling sadness or if you're not well mentally, then there's something wrong with you. You're weak. You're not supposed to feel sad. You're a man. So it's a lot of negativity, and they've been fed this at a young age, and it's grown into this. It's just a terrible tragedy that men have to hide behind what they really feel. And it shouldn't be that way. Because they're human beings too.
Yeah, exactly. And it's something that does need to be talked about. And the reason why is our prison pipeline. And that's exactly what it is. It's an $80 billion a year pipeline. And it feeds off of men and women with mental illness, but predominantly men, and especially men in the Black culture. And it is something that prisons and jails are not equipped to do. They can sit there and say they have all of these lovely programs. Some of them do. Some of them may work. But for the majority of prisons, it does not. So by the time that they come back out, their mental illness is even worse. And now you have someone that went in with it and now is coming out with it and has no way of coping.
And that's why the recidivism rates are so high, especially in Michigan. The turnaround rate is not good at all. Most guys who come out of prison, they have like a 2-year parole here in Michigan. The majority of them fail within the 2 years. They know that. It's a revolving door, so that's why it's set up that way. They don't provide the resources that are needed. So that's a whole nother topic that really needs to be addressed as well. But you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So what can you tell people? How did you move past that day? And I know you're doing a whole lot of things, but what got you to start picking yourself back up and start picking the pieces back up?
Well, here's the thing. About 3 months after my dad's tragedy, I was in my kitchen, and I talk about this in my book. I was in my kitchen, and I started to feel very, very dizzy. I mean, I've never experienced dizziness like that in my whole life. And I became ill. I was hospitalized. And during that hospital stay is when I decided, LaToya, your father wouldn't want you to live this way. He's gone now. He loved you. His life is over. So maybe you need to start honoring the legacy that he left behind, because he was a great person. He had a lot of wonderful attributes about himself. And so what I did was I started finding my own way, medicating myself. So when you see me on Facebook and I'm baking a German chocolate cake, or I have chocolate chip cookies that I've baked, or if you see me with a wooden door hanger that I've made in the image of a sunflower, please know, when you see me on my podcast, all of those are pills. It's a pill that I'm taking every 8 hours, every 6 hours, whatever the prescription is that day, that's my medication. If it was not for baking, making door hangers, doing my podcast every Saturday, I don't know where I would be. So that was my therapy. That was my pill to help me go beyond the deep sadness that I was in. I will never get over losing my dad the way that I did. And I focus a lot on him because I don't have permission from my dad's wife's family to really discuss any parts of her life. So I talk a lot about him. But what I will say about the wife is that she was a beautiful person. She loved my dad. She was in all four of his corners. She helped him. She supported him. She loved him. The couple had only been married for 9 months when this happened. So what I want to say is, it's a tragedy. And I was very close with my father. I knew him my whole life. He was always just a phone call away. So for him to die the way that he died and leave this earth, taking someone with him, I'll never get over that. But I have learned to navigate through life with that on my heart. So I've found a way to make my way through this maze, but it's something I'll never get over that. I'll never get over that. Mm-mm. But I'm standing strong today. I'm having a good day today. Tomorrow, I don't know. I might cry. Yeah. Me crying by the end of this podcast here. But it's one day at a time. And when I find myself in the pits, when I find myself at the lowest point, I go through it. I cry. I grieve. And then I go forward and I get in my kitchen, my sanctum. That's my playground. Or I get on a podcast and I interview with beautiful people like you. This is my pill. You're feeding me the prescription that I need to go forward. So I've survived it.
That's a lovely analogy. I've never heard it explained that way. And I think you're 100% right. I know that you're 100% right, because I've seen so many people in my life that have lost loved ones due to suicide. And it is a hard thing for a lot of families to go through. It's hard when you lose a loved one and they transition to the other side. It's even harder when you lose a loved one in that fashion, because you play that tape of what if so many times, and you're going like, what if I would have said this, or what if I would have done this? And in reality, there's a lot of things that we can continue to do that, but I don't think it would have changed the outcome. One of the things that I've learned in listening to people that have been going through those type of things is, for them, it is literally like their heart was shredded to pieces, and they're having to pick those pieces up and to figure out how to fill the hole, because that puzzle piece is no longer there.
Yeah. And most people who take their own lives, and people who die by suicide, they don't want to necessarily die. They just want the pain to end. Whatever they're going through, they want that to end. It's not so much that they don't want to live, but they see no other way out. So in that moment, suicide is the only option for them. And I want to talk to your audience today, Dawn, about the warning signs. Okay, when it comes to suicide, a person takes their own life without leaving some warning. There's always a warning. We just don't know what it is at that time. Hindsight is 20/20 when it comes to suicide. So talking about suicide, joking about dying, making statements, oh, the world would be a better place without me, losing interest in things that they love, not going to work, not taking care of your hygiene, searching ways on the internet to take your own life, giving away prized possessions. I talked with a lady recently. Her husband had a beautiful class ring from college. He'd had it for probably 30 years. And he all of a sudden one morning woke up and said, I'm going to go see my grandson. I want to give him this class ring. I've had it all these years. I want to pass it on. So if you notice those types of behaviors, my dad, for example, he would always jumping off the bridge. I would call my dad at the end of a long day and say, oh, hi, Dad. How was your day today? And he'd say, oh, I had a rough day today. I'm looking for the bridge. And I would go, why are you looking for the bridge? And he would say, because I'm ready to jump. And we would laugh it off, right? But now I realize that there was an element of truth to the joke. He really wanted to jump. And I didn't see that at the time. There's so many things that I look back on. The depression, the anxiety. Isolation is the number one key factor for people who are contemplating suicide. People staying to themselves, isolation, not wanting to do things, engaging in reckless behavior, drinking more, sleeping more, or sleeping less. If you notice any of those signs, talk to your loved one and don't be afraid to use the word suicide. If I notice a difference in you, Dawn, this is how I'm going to approach you. Hi, Don. How are you today? I notice you haven't really been yourself lately. I know you're going through a lot at home. And sometimes people who have experienced what you're going through, they often think of suicide. Are you thinking of suicide, Don? Now, notice how I said that to you. You notice how my voice got lower and lower as I got to the word suicide? That's the way you talk to someone when they're in that mode, because by doing so, don't you feel like you can talk to me? Don't you feel that I'm offering you a safe place to land? Now, here's the wrong way to talk to someone that you're concerned about. Hey, Dawn, how are you? You know, I noticed you haven't been yourself lately. Are you depressed? I know you're not thinking about killing yourself, are you? Come on, Dawn, you can't. That weak. Nobody's worth that. What's wrong with you? Please, don't approach the person that way. Open up your heart. Offer them empathy. Offer them compassion. Whatever the problem is, don't try to fix it in that moment, because you can't. Your main goal as the assistant of the person, your main goal is to listen to them and get them to open up to you. Floodgate. Just let it all out. Give me everything. Like the Bible says, pass on your burdens to the Lord. In that moment, give me your burden. Lay it on my chest. Let's talk about it. And we can work through it. But lower your voice. Look them in the eyes. Put your cell phone away. Give them your full attention. Because one false move can push them even further to the other side. So be careful with that.
And that's some good points. And it's a good way of teaching people how to talk to people. Because when I was growing up, that second way you did it, that was the way, you know, a lot of people were told. It's like, oh, what are you thinking? And I think the worst phrase I ever heard, and I still hear it, is it's selfish for you to do that.
Yes. And can I elaborate on that? Because that's a trigger point for me. Listen, yes. Person takes their own life, okay? Any person who would take, I'm going to use my father, for example, and this is going to be a trigger warning. When a person takes a gun and puts it to their head to pull a trigger, okay, that's not selfish. That person is mentally ill. Something is wrong. The brain is just like any other organ in the body. The brain gets sick. Dawn, if I die from kidney failure right now, would you look at me and say, wow, she died from kidney failure? She was so selfish. Would you say that to me? No. So if I die by suicide because I had a mental illness, how can you blame me if my mind is not functioning properly? I can't control that. So suicide is not selfish. It's not a selfish act because that person, you're saying that from a rational mind, but a person who's in the midst of committing, taking their own life, they're not rational. So how could that be selfish?
Exactly. And I'm glad that you said it that way, because that's always been something that has gotten me riled up and frustrated at people, because that's one of the things that when we're talking about mental illness and mental awareness, is not everyone functions the same way.
Mm-hmm.
We all may be human. We all may have brains, but I think a different way than you do, and you think a different way than I do. And there's going to be some things that, for whatever reason, and my brain is not going to work like it does in yours. And one of the things that my own father told me is when he is struggling with depression, or was, he told me, he said, it's like being in a room full of people, but you're still in that black tunnel and you cannot see the light of day for nothing. And he said, it's like hearing everybody underwater. And that's what it felt like for him. He would put on the happy face and all of the things so that you wouldn't know that he was struggling. But he struggled with depression a lot of his life. And he used alcohol to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to watch people in our lives that struggle so much with that. And I think that's why raising that awareness, and especially raising that awareness for men, and raising it in the Christian community. Now, I know I'm fixing to hit a hot button with that, but there is a lot of people in the Christian community, even my own family members that struggle with it. They talk to their pastor and they say, well, just believe more. You're not doing it right. I'm sorry, sis. That is not how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Not how that works. Because we can believe all we want to, but we have medications, we have therapists, we have psychologists out here to help you for that reason. And I think what both of us want for most people to hear is, if you are in that place, go get help. It doesn't matter if you are having to go get it outside of the family, if you're having to talk to other friends, find you a supportive community that is willing to listen to you. Because mm-hmm. I guarantee you, your life is worth being on this earth until it's time for you to naturally transition.
Yes, yes. That is so true. I truly, truly understand that.
Yeah. So if we can...
And, you know, Dawn, in 2022, 48,000 people died by suicide in the United States alone. 48,000 people died by suicide. Every 11 minutes, someone dies by suicide. So we've been recording right now for 23 minutes. Yeah. 11 and 11 is 22. So we've already lost two people in the United States just from this recording. Nearly a million people died by suicide worldwide. If you were to stand in a room with 20 people, at least two of those individuals are thinking about suicide in that very moment. And you are far more likely to encounter someone having suicidal thoughts than you are to encountering someone having a heart attack. And you know, heart attack is one of the leading causes of death. So suicide is very, very serious. The numbers are higher each year. And it's a pain that never goes away, because the individual who dies by suicide, their life is over. So now that pain is transferred to the people who love them, the people that they've left behind. And it's never the solution. It's never the solution.
It's not. So those of you that are listening to us, please take this seriously. If we can even reach one or two people, it'll be worth it. And those that I know personally that struggle, I want you to know that as you listen to this podcast, there's at least two people in your corner that are here right now talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
That will do everything that we can in our power to make sure that you stay with us. And yeah. We'll give you the help, no matter what it takes. If that means I'm answering a messenger on Facebook, or I'm answering an email, or if you're local to me, going to your house, whatever it takes,
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. we've both been there. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, I've watched a lot of people in my life not be here over that.
Yeah. And what we have to do is I like to use this term, stay awake for the rebirth. Every day that we wake up, rebirthing a new day, right? Yeah. So my dad died on a Monday. I often wonder what his life would be like if he had just stayed awake one more day. Tuesday may have been a little bit better, or maybe not. But if you stay awake for the rebirth a new day, just take it one more day. Let's not do it today. When I counsel with people who are at the edge or on the brink or having suicidal thoughts, I always tell them, let's table that for it. Let's parking lot that decision for a day. Let's wait a little bit. Let's talk about this. Because if you stay awake a little bit longer and the rebirth takes place, you find other reasons to live.
That's powerful. So before we sign off, I want you to show your book so people know what it looks like, where to get it, because
so this is
you deserve
the book. The book is called Speaking of Love. It's a suicide loss survivor's guide of hope, healing, and love. It's available on Amazon. It's called Speaking of Love. And it's by me. My name is Latoya Bond. And this book was my passion project. I titled the book after my dad's radio show. My father used to be a radio TV broadcast engineer for many years. And the name of the radio show he hosted was called Speaking of sports, so when he died, I thought, I want to do something to honor him. I want to do something with radio because he loved radio. He loved public speaking. He worked for WXYZ Channel 7 News for over 30 years. So he was a big radio TV broadcast guy. I knew I wanted to start a podcast in his honor. And I thought, speaking of sports, was his radio show. I know nothing about sports, but I know all about love. So that's where the title Speaking of Love comes from. The book is called Speaking of Love. My podcast is called Speaking of Love. And my mission, my aim, and my purpose is to just bring more love into the world, one day at a time, one person at a time. And I want everyone listening to the sound of my voice to know that you are here on earth for a divine purpose. Your existence matters, and you are loved.
You're definitely loved. And it's important to honor those that were with us so that way what you're doing is not in vain. And it's important to spread that word. So Latoya, I appreciate it so very much. For those that are listening, like I said, again, find her on beautifultoy.net. That is her website. And it's also going to be posted on YouTube. But please, 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 anybody that you know, please talk to them. Please be involved in their life because they matter, you matter. And it is all about spreading that love because you're not wrong on that. Love fixes a whole lot of freaking things. We might not can cure things because we're not medical professionals, but we can sure help shine that light a little bit brighter.
Had difficult times in our lives, Dawn. I'm sure that you've had moments in your life when it was hard for you. So just know that we're not here talking to you from a place of unfamiliarity. We have experienced pain on deep levels and you work through it.
Exactly. And before we sign off, and with that being said, she is correct because we are both co-authors of Relentless. That is also on Amazon. If you are close to us, we can actually get you a signed copy.
Yeah.
Latoya is in it. Read her story, but also buy her book because it is freaking worth it. And I'm telling you what, supporting authors is important because it gets our story out there. And who knows, we may cross paths in person. And I want everybody to know that as we sign off, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, you are loved, you are the beacon of hope, and you are unstoppable. Ladies and gentlemen, have a good night. Thank you, Latoya.
Thank you.